Welcome, everybody, to the Riding with Rose Hill podcast. I'm Mitch.
And I'm Blake.
And you are Riding with Rose Hill.
The podcast, coming to you live from the hill here in Cypress, Texas, will take place once a week where Mitch and I will discuss a wide variety of topics. Life, love, sex, drugs,
and rock and roll.
And all other things mythical and mystical about life in the music business. We'd also like to encourage everybody that if you have a specific topic you'd like Mitch and I to discuss,
just send it on into our Facebook page. Let the podcast begin.
All right, folks, the sun
is back.
The sun is down. The drinks are poured. We are here at Mitch's lovely abode in Cypress, Texas.
The hill, if you will.
Affectionately known as the hill. Here for another
installment. Say that every week until it doesn't get old.
Exactly. We're back for another installment of the Riding with Rose Hill podcast. Weather's changes, getting cold outside, the time's changed, getting dark at like 5:30, which I like.
I don't.
I'm a creature of the night, Mitch. You know, the nighttime is the right time, as they say, so talk about a few things today. But first, I'd like to introduce some special guests that we have with us today, making his second Riding with Rose Hill podcast. Mr. Corey J. Pendleton, everybody's lovable guitar player and good friend, Corey J. Pendleton. Say something to the crowd, Corey. What's going on with Corey these days, man?
I spend most of my time keeping it real.
As well you should, sir. And then, back in the corner, doesn't say a whole lot, Beefmaster, Pitmaster extraordinaire, barbecue cooker, Mr. Brian West is with us today. Basically, he speaks in Mexican yell, and that was more or less, hi, how are you? My name's Brian, right? See, that was him saying yes to you, so,
we might have messed up the mic on that one.
Oh, right. So, like I said, the drinks have been poured, so, nothing much. I mean, just playing shows, coming up. Want to remind everybody again about the, Last Beer of the Year show, December 15th in College Station at the Hall of Fame. That's going to be a fun, fun show.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that one. Y'all put your dancing shoes on. Come on out to the Hall of Fame.
Looks like we're going to make our way back up to Oklahoma City and be visiting the Wormy Dog in December, and as well as maybe Gillies in Dallas, which I've never played before.
That'll be pretty awesome.
Speaking of, you know, from our last week's podcast, the venues, man, that's one I've always wanted to play. I hear great things about it there in Dallas, and so a lot of fun stuff. Still working on the music video. Turns out we have a few more scenes to shoot, but it will be coming out very soon. In fact, we're going to finish that music video this weekend. Time crunched in between travel and soundcheck, but hey, it's what we do for you, man. Want to put out a good music video. Is that pritching enough for you?
It's about the buzz, man. it's all about the buzz.
The chicks and the whatever. Which is a good point that you brought up that movie quote today, guys, because today's podcast, we're going to be talking to you about our favorite movies, stuff we like to watch on the road, stuff that inspires us to write good music, and then stuff that just makes us laugh our ass off. That's the reason we wanted Corey J. Pendleton as one of our guests today, because
he is a plethora.
He's kind of a movie snob, not going to lie.
Did you say plethora?
He likes what he likes. Do you know what a plethora is? So, when we come back, we gotta pay some bills. When we come back, we'll get into our topic, and we'll be right back.
Red Dirt Hurricane Juiced Energy. It'll blow you away. The only energy drink supporting Texas Red Dirt music. Available now in Fruit Punch, Original, and Sugar Free. Get blown away at RedDirtHurricane.com.
Hi, this is Blake.
And Mish, and we're Rose Hill.
We'd like to thank y'all for supporting our single, Midnight America.
We'd also like to thank Red Dirt Hurricane, the only energy drink supporting Texas music you love.
Red Dirt Hurricane, it'll blow you away.
So, like I said earlier, our topic today is movies, and we find a lot of inspiration from movies. I think the general public, finds inspiration. You know, everybody talks about music and how music is so key to the soul, but I guess in our day and age,
can they be documentaries?
They can be anything.
Can it be just anything?
Just full-length feature. Not like a television show. We're not going to talk about TV shows.
But no sitcoms.
Yeah, no sitcoms, but
Lifetime just movies, maybe? No?
Maybe for Brian. I'm not sure. No, but I mean, that's people do. I mean, people look to movies, you know, the screen just as much as they do for music for inspiration. And people have, movies affect them the way music affects people, I think. So.
Absolutely. I think people watch movies and they try to become characters.
Exactly.
I think movies give people direction. Does that make sense?
No, that's fair.
No, and then that's why I thought this would be a good topic today. So let's go genre. We'll do genre first, and let's just go around the room here. Like, Mitch, what is your favorite genre of movie, whether it be drama, action, comedy?
I think all the above, really. I don't have a favorite. I'm a movie fan in general, so like...
Do you have like a top three, like in order, maybe?
No, man, I don't. I have Fight Club's up there.
Fight Club's its own genre, for sure, people, if you didn't know that.
Fight Club, probably Anchorman, and...
Yeah.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Corey, what's your favorite genre of movie? I mean,
Legends of the Fall.
Oh yeah, of course.
Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt. I'm going with Mitch. I don't have a favorite genre. I mean,
it's like we discussed
what mood am I in? You know?
Yeah, it's like we discussed last podcast about music changing with the seasons.
That's
and
true.
The weather. Same with movies.
That's true, except for, I guess I'm the exception, because I do love a good drama, I mean, a good thriller. I'm not a big drama fan, but like, slapstick comedy.
Yeah, that's your bad.
Stupid comedy is the only way to go for me, and I don't know why, just...
Says a lot about you, Blake.
That's right, I'm lazy at heart, I don't want to have to freaking think, I just want to laugh, and so that's kind of mine. Brian, you have any particular genre that you like besides Mexican Westerns?
Comedy, by far.
Yeah.
Laughing is good for the soul.
I agree. I have no true words.
I always peg you as a foreign independent kind of guy.
Well, yeah, I do. In
very artsy.
Well, I mean, off the top of my head, my all-time favorite movie, this has nothing to do with what we do for a living, Almost Famous. Great storyline, the fact that it's pretty true, and the fact that the music, even the music of the band Stillwater in the movie, was really good.
I mean,
believable.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
I love that movie so much. I tried to become Russell,
mustache and all,
mustache, long hair. I mean,
you are a golden god.
I lived it.
I agree. I mean, it's just something about that movie, because I think for me it has everything. I kind of, you know, to see the plot line, because it's funny though. I mean, it's got some stupid comedy in it too, but that's got to be, and plus, you know,
Kate Hudson.
How I feel about Kate Hudson, Penny Lane.
Who doesn't? Chris Robinson, you're an idiot.
Yeah, moron. But to me, maybe it's because I live in that, if you're talking about people losing themselves in a role, like when I see Kate Hudson, I think Penny Lane. I don't think Kate Hudson.
True.
That may make me a little stalkerish, but we'll move on from that subject. What would be your all-time favorite movie, Mitch?
That's up there, but like I said earlier, I think Legends of the Fall, man. I'm a big
great movie.
I'm a big Western guy. Like, I love, like, you know, the old Westerns. I mean, that's my favorite.
You know who my favorite character in Legends of the Fall was? And it was not Brad Pitt. Anthony Hopkins.
The dad.
Oh, of course.
He had very few roles in there, but when he...
What movie has Anthony Hopkins ever made
that's true,
not good? I mean, even if he just has a cameo or, I mean, if he's the father of somebody, he steals the show.
I thought he was even... I mean, when he comes back and he's had that stroke and he's going, scrum! That's like my favorite part of that whole movie. I think it cracks me up, man. You know what I'm saying? So... For sure. Corey, I got to hear at least one of your top fives. I know you're a big movie guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of with Mitch. I like the comedy, but Tombstone's way up there. I mean, who doesn't like Tombstone?
I'm your Huckleberry, yeah. You'd
be free against un-American not to like Tombstone.
That's right.
Lonesome Dove.
Oh, way up there. God. How can you forget?
If you have a Sunday to kill, you know, Lonesome Dove.
Speaking of, not to call out, Brian West, the pitmaster extraordinaire, he is also my brother-in-law. And he's country to the bone, and he has never seen Lonesome Dove. That's big, man. We're going to have to devote.
Ryan.
Yeah. We're going to have to devote. It's like Corey said, a whole
Ryan,
Sunday.
You want to know how we're going to do it? Hold on. I got a fucking idea.
Beep.
We'll cut that. We'll start right here. You know how we're going to do it? I've got an idea. We're going to go over, fire up the pit, put Lonesome Dove on the flat screen, and barbecue... Get wasted and watch 6 hours of country and western.
Yeah, we smoke a brisket or two.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's how it should be done.
Dude, damn it.
The question it will change your life. I'm serious.
That's going to be a rough day.
I mean, Corey is a connoisseur, but I will have to bring up, we talk about movies affecting people.
I may drive the cattle to your house before we can cook it. In honor of Gus and Carl.
The four guys here today.
Who do you want to be? I'll be Gus.
I'll be Carl. I'm a little more hard.
You got a beard.
I have a beard, yeah.
You do. And that's, you kind of look like Tommy Lee Jones, so.
Nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
To single it all the way down of the way movies can affect people, is speaking of Lonesome Dove, is everybody in this room knows we have a friend named Chris Dan, and we all call Bubba. Mm-hmm. Love him to death, redneck to the core. And that emotional movie for him is 8 Seconds. And he's probably seen it when he lived with us in college. He watched it every week. It was not, you know, it wasn't like, I watched this movie 100 times. Like, the dude literally watched it every single week. And he would cry at the same moment every single time. This guy was hardcore cowboy, and he would cry every time. It's not when Lane died.
It's when
Tough was riding the extra 8 seconds.
It's riding
every time we'd watch it, I'd be like, man, that's kind of cool. And I look over, and there's this big cowboy, Chris Dana, just bawling his eyes out. I'm like, dude, you just saw this last week. It's like, it just hits me in the heart.
You know, he thinks he is Tough Heeman, right?
Yeah. But even my brother, his movie is Rudy. When Rudy gets the acceptance letter in Notre Dame, Chris is crying every single time.
I don't have one of those. I don't.
Neither do I. But it's just show how some movies can evoke emotion like that.
You've seen my movie collection. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty on top. Yeah. Which leads me to my next segment on this subject is, for those of you out there who don't know, the band's favorite thing to do as it pertains to movies is not just going, hey man, did you see Get Him to the Great Call? It's really funny. Or, you know, let's go watch Almost Famous. It's, we kind of have an unspoken contest to see what band member can bring in the unsung movie, the movie that did nothing at the box office or even went straight to video, ends up being hilarious. And we've done that several times. I think you guys, when y'all lived in San Marcos, were the winners by bringing
I was going to bring that one up.
Instant classic.
This was when Douglas Sykes off of 71 Elm Hill. Went to movie gallery, and I just was bored in the middle of the day, not in class. Sorry, Mom. I was just walking around looking at all the videos, and I saw that, and what's the guy's name? David Cross. I think that guy's hilarious. And I saw this movie, and I read the back of it, and I was like, oh, I've got to bring this up. It's a cult classic. Yeah, it's starting to get spun on TV.
But to tell you how cult it was at this time, you couldn't even find it on DVD.
No, it's VHS.
You had to find it on VHS, and if you wanted it on DVD, you could only order it on Amazon.com.
Yeah.
We showed it to a couple friends of ours in College Station, and they went to Best Buy and rented the only copy in College Station and never gave it back. Just stole it straight from
If you haven't seen it, it's really funny. It's a spinoff of Cops.
I would like to... my contribution to this little game that we play was Hot Rod with Andy Samberg.
Hot Rod was really funny.
Really funny. I saw the previews when it came out to movie theater, did nothing at the box office, and was freaking hilarious, I thought.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Well, on the other side of comedy... Green Street Hooligans.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Really good movie.
I mean,
although I didn't see
that movie ever. I mean,
I will tell you, it must have been cult classic on the level of like Boondock Saints, because you know Boondock Saints just came out with a sequel and it's terrible.
Yeah.
There's Green Street Hooligans too, and it is brutally bad.
Yeah, I could see that coming.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, they show it on Showtime all the time, and it's brutally bad. So
yeah. You didn't hear about the first one. Here's number two.
Yeah, here's number two. Which...
there's another category of slapstick humor you forgot is the Across the Pond, the guys from Hot Fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
British
comedy.
Speaking of, we never talked about this. By the way, another one of our favorite movies, fairly recent. If you like music and comedy, check out Pirate Radio. Awesome freaking movie.
Yeah, it's funny.
And what's his name? Nick Frost.
Yeah.
From Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz is, I think, one of the funniest guys in that movie.
Oh, great movie. Yeah.
Have you seen it yet? You've seen it.
I was the first one to see it.
Of course you were. It's a great... I was shocked.
I just saw it. It's funny.
But I think you said it best. I mean, in recent years, what's that actor's name? Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah. He doesn't make bad movies.
Well,
since Capote.
Yeah, Capote wasn't.
Hey, call back to Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Lester Bangs.
Lester Bangs in that one.
Dude, you can call me in there.
I stay up late. That is a great flick, man. Well, I mean, and that's what we do on the road. I mean, we got our van has a built-in TV from like 1985, but it works.
And that's the whole reason we bought it.
Yeah,
it had an N64 in it.
We try to pick movies though in the van that have to be, they're usually comedy. That way, the driver and the passenger can at least laugh along with
or
it.
Or music. That way, at least you can hear something. So
well, let's get onto that. Let's get onto that genre.
Be here to love me.
Wow, that was quick. I didn't even get it out.
God,
what? So music good. Documentaries. Mitch introduced us to one on Townes Van Zandt. That is one of the darkest.
It's, if you don't know anything about Townes Van Zandt, like you could know nothing about him. You watch this documentary and you're just like, whoa.
I've never walked out of watching a documentary so personally conflicted, and I wasn't even there.
Yeah. You're just like, man, what just happened?
Well, because you read and watch TV shows on these rock stars of the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they were on peyote and heroin and all sorts of, you know, PSP, all these drugs and these hallucinogens, and you think, man, those guys are screwed up. Watch this documentary on Townes Van Zandt. He puts them all to shit.
Yeah, he outpartied everybody.
Yeah.
He was
But he wasn't partying. Like, that's the thing. Like,
Something was not right with that kid.
Yeah.
He was just doing it.
I mean, the guy used to put airplane glue on a sock and shove a sock in his mouth and sleep so he could be high when he slept. That was the most messed up documentary and informative that I've ever watched.
Yeah.
Give that title again, Mitch, so people go see it.
It's called Be Here to Love Me. It's eye-opening.
It's a changer. It'll change
you. Well, the other thing is a lot of people that don't know Townes will get educated on his music and all the music he wrote for other people.
Well, and how, I mean, he was so awesome, but it's another one of those sad stories that his addictions got the best of him. And, I mean,
it's a trip to see, because the thing about these rock stars that you read about, these real tortured souls, is they all had terrible childhoods.
Well,
there was a reason to go back to and look at and go, oh, this is why this dude screwed up.
Yeah.
This guy came from a wealthy family, not one of those wealthy families where daddy doesn't love me. Like,
well, think about it.
Great family home. There should have been nothing wrong with this kid mentally.
Look at Bob Dylan, man. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of the exception to the rule, because, I mean, he's one of the greatest songwriters of all, you know, of our time.
Yeah.
And, or of all time, for that matter. And you don't hear anything about him.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear...
He's still alive? He's still making records?
Yeah.
Exactly. Every now and again? Some better than others? But,
I don't know. I guess that's a pretty good one. I mean, Corey's... you know, you brought over a documentary recently on Graham Parsons, and all it did was piss me off.
Yeah, it just...
He felt like a poser. After you really learned about him,
When you really learned about him, it's like, what a waste of an extraordinary talent.
Yeah.
Man. When he should have been focusing on music, he was too busy riding the coattails of...
He wanted to hang out with the Rolling Stones.
I didn't know that, you know, I was educated because you brought it over there, but that thing just pissed me off.
It did. It made me a little angry.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, I was like, this guy is an idiot. He's not even alive to defend himself, obviously, but still, I mean, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but he did have the hard life of hard lives, you know what I mean? He had the suicidal father and the alcoholic mother and the... He didn't have far to go.
He has a bit of excuses compared to Townes Van Zandt,
I think he had more struggles than most.
Let's think about that. That's polar opposites. Townes came from a very wealthy...
Yeah.
There's all this expectation, where as far as Graham Parsons had none.
But at least Townes put in the work. I mean, he wrote songs and wrote songs and wrote songs and wrote songs and wrote songs, whereas Graham was too busy getting stoned and trying to hang out with the Stones.
Oh, yeah, towards the end, yeah.
You know?
He was too busy getting stoned with the Stones.
That's right, you know? We should be so lucky. I don't know. One of my favorite ones of all time is a fairly recent one, just because it was so interesting, was It Might Get Loud. What a great documentary, I thought. It was a good...
Good.
They picked the... I think it was... The reason I say great is they picked the right three guitar players, because a lot of people, especially in our genre... don't have a whole lot of respect for a guy like The Edge because of all the technical stuff that he does, but at least it lets you inside his world and why he does the things he does.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that. I think two. It would have been great if they would have put someone else in besides The Edge. I mean, I understand why he's there. He was the first one with the delay and all that.
But they had to show the other end of the spectrum.
You know, those one note solos with the delay pedal. I mean,
you have Jack White on one end, minimalist,
just the dirtiest playing nothing. Yeah.
And then you have to have the other end of the spectrum. Put Jimmy in the middle, who's played with effects, but also is raw. You know, has been raw, and I'd say he's one of the top five greatest guitar players of all time. So I see the point of why they put him in there. It's not just about he was the first one to do a delay. They had to pick somebody so polar opposite because Jack White is
Corey. Being a guitar player, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they it was geared around guitar players and everything, but I mean they had two very influential people for their generations.
Right.
I mean, go beyond guitar. You have Jimmy Page, who's part of the biggest rock band ever in history. You got Jack White, who's the biggest rock musician. You know, today he's in four or five bands at any given time.
Right.
Good guitar player, great guitar player. Not the most influential guitar player out there.
He's
right
not
now.
The most polished.
Definitely not polished. Definitely great. And
but
most,
I think he could be. I don't think he wants to be.
Yeah, probably the most interesting musician out there right now for sure.
Yeah.
And you got The Edge, who's a good guitar player. You know, in a good band from
guitar for Bono.
80s and 90s, early 90s.
You think he's overshadowed by Bono?
How influential is he? I mean, they could have picked somebody.
I guess.
How many kids grew up saying, "Man, I want to be like Bono"?
Well, I guess I'm seeing it from a lot. They're a huge band.
Edge.
And it's not because I'm not a big fan of U2. I guess I'm seeing the different angle.
I am. I really like U2's early stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't look back and like, man.
When I guess when I was coming up learning how to play the git, I never really cared about learning how to play a U2 song.
Right, I understand that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to pick a strictly guitarist type of thing from that area, you do, Eddie Van Halen.
Slash.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big.
I mean, if we're
going to
go
Halen
80s,
fan,
if we're going to go 70s, 80s, right. 90s, early 2000s, then let's go with someone like Slash. Or like Corey said. You take
every little kid in the early 80s, they want to play like...
They want to play Eruption, dude.
They don't want to play, The Edge.
No, I see your point. I guess the point of the podcast in general is that...
But overall, yes, I agree with you. It was an interesting documentary.
We're skipping back on one, and we missed over one. The Last Waltz.
Yeah. The Last Waltz was pretty... influential to me.
Yeah, life changer type.
That might be the first musical documentary I ever owned.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was it. Yeah, picked it up at Walgreens or somewhere like
somewhere,
that.
Yeah.
And just
well, how do you go wrong with a music documentary that's directed by freaking Scorsese?
I don't know.
I mean,
for that matter, No Direction Home.
And I thought that was good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
But I think I like the Waltz because it gave you a little bit of insight. To who the band was?
Not much. I thought it created a bunch of mystery.
Exactly. And the music was so good. Oh my gosh.
The music was awesome. And there's a few performances I felt that could have been left out, but...
You better not be talking about Van the Man, not in front of Corey.
No.
Oh,
of course
God,
not.
No,
high kicks it out, baby.
Turn up that radio.
Turn off that electric light, Van
the Man. More chest hair, Van the Man.
No, it doesn't matter, but what I'm saying is that the brief glimpses of the band that they gave you as far as the interview parts of it, it was very mysterious. I mean, they'd only give you a couple minutes or like even a phrase or a couple sentences, and then it was... I mean, so they didn't really let you
in. Right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I liked about it is you had these...
They let you skim
this bunch of almost nameless musicians at the time. I mean, no, but there was no Jimmy Page or big name kind of guy in that band.
Right.
I mean, Robbie Robertson.
Diamond.
You see these guys, their impact on other musicians.
What's wrong?
Man, I love this, Clapton, he tried to, wanted to be in the band at one point, and they said,
I think that's why them calling themselves the band was so warranted.
There was not one single
standout
guy.
No lead singer, I mean, the drummer singing, and the, bass player singing. And
you want to know what I didn't know until later on is that the piano player sang majority of the songs, man. Yeah. I didn't know that.
They considered him the lead singer, which, you know, we always sing Levon. All those guys are the...
Well, I guess there's one thing I want to do before I die, or before he dies, is I need to go to a Red Barn Jamboree.
Yeah. Go see Levon and his home and a home court.
The dirt farmer himself.
Awesome. Man. But I guess the whole point of the podcast today, being about movies, is to show movies affects us on an everyday basis. I think
I think movies affect us musically.
Yeah,
I think it inspires us sometimes to write songs.
Besides going to the record stack, I mean, sometimes it's fun just to put on Almost Famous and find some inspiration. I mean, the music in some of these movies that we watch is so freaking phenomenal. I mean, not to change the subject, but one in the comedy genre, one actor that puts brilliant soundtracks together for his own movies is Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Generally, his comedies have killer soundtracks, you know? And so that's just what we're trying to say. Music is an unbelievable place to find inspiration for everyday life. But so is movies. It's two different entertainment medias that inspire personal greatness within everybody. I mean, people that are looking or searching for something. So get out to your local Blockbuster Redbox. Get yourself a flick.
I'd like to thank Corey J. Pendleton.
Corey J. Pendleton.
Brian West over there.
No, he's still here.
For being some guests today. We're Rose Hill. We're out.
Guys, thanks for listening to the Ride with Rose Hill podcast, coming to you from the hill here in Cypress, Texas.
And don't forget, if you like what you heard, this is a weekly podcast where we'll be discussing all sorts of issues. Don't forget to tell your friends.
They can find us at www.rosehill-live.com. And please, keep sending in your topics on the Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you.
And don't forget to support your local live musicians.